William Morrow and Harper Audio present Southern Man, a novel by Greg Iles, performed by Scott Brick. For Elliot Hungerford Iles, our own personal transformer. They were the sort of people that lynch Negroes, that mistake hoodlumism for wit and cunning for intelligence, that attend revivals and fight and fornicate in the bushes afterwards. They were undiluted Anglo-Saxons. They were the sovereign voter. It was so horrible, it seemed unreal. William Alexander Percy, Lanterns on the Levee, 1941. In this world, goodness is destined to be defeated, but a man must go down fighting. That is the victory. To do anything less is to be less than a man. Walker Percy, The Moviegoer, 1961. Thursday. Chapter 1. The highest-paid political consultant in America disembarked from his Cessna citation at Medgar Evers Field in Jackson, Mississippi, and slid into a limo that shuttled him toward the white flight ring of the Capitol. Rafael Carrera, Tio to his clients, savored the irony that he had to remind himself not to drink the public water when visiting the capital city in an American state. Mississippi, he muttered, que barrio cochambrosa. Tio Carrera's olive-skinned face had the hard, knowing look of a career gambler's. In his late 70s, his belly now had twice the girth of his shoulders, but he'd been in the game since Nixon in 68, and he had seen everything, forgotten nothing. Tio knew where actual bodies were buried. Cuban by birth, he had been first a Kennedy lover, then a Kennedy hater, until he'd given up all conviction and worked for whoever paid best, which was usually Republicans. But woe betide the WASPs who saw him merely as a Florida specialist. Insiders loved telling a story about Tio taking Carl Rove for five figures by bluffing at poker on a late-night plane ride during the Bush-Gore litigation. A few claimed that Tio had been present at the actual Bay of Pigs as a teenager, and nobody was sure if he'd been on the beach or in the boats. In any case, he'd been credited with some of the most devastating negative attacks in the history of American politics. And one thing was sure, if you paid for his opinion, you got it without Vaseline. Today, Tio was flying from Washington, D.C. to Brasilia, Brazil, to advise during the special presidential election, but he'd agreed to touch down in Jackson for 60 minutes to give the two men waiting at Magnolia Star Studios a thumbs up or down on a single political ad. He wouldn't normally have bothered with something so small, but the potential candidate in this case intrigued him. The kid in question, a 42-year-old conservative radio host named Robert E. Lee White, had literally come out of nowhere, exploding into the national consciousness after a book by a disgraced Delta Force operator revealed that Bobby White had personally killed Abu Nasir al-Sharif, second in command to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi during the famous 2008 raid in Afghanistan. White had also lost an arm while doing this. His pitching arm, as it turned out, when America learned that Bobby White, in the tradition of Pat Tillman, had after 9/11 walked away from a Division I baseball scholarship at Ole Miss to enlist in the Army and fight Al-Qaeda. Better still, the killer of Abu Nasir turned out to be the son of Big Ed White, the Hall of Fame left-hander for the Astros in the 1980s. It was a story an old baseball fanatic like Tio couldn't resist. As Bobby's biography took shape on social media, mainstream America began to learn what the conservative radio audience already knew. That saving a brief dip when he condemned Trump on January 6th, Bobby White had virtually owned the center in conservative morning radio. Media experts believed it was only his refusal to deny the 2020 election results or condemn all abortions that had kept him from taking the number...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?